Hello, hello. Welcome back again at Fresh Start. I'm a game developer. My name is Adam Arisasmita and I'm going to be your host for the day with me, Kiki. Hi, Kiki.
Hi again. I'm back again.
Back again. Nice to have you back. How are you, Kiki?
Great. We did an event together. I think maybe we can talk about it in the future, but I think it's related to what we're going to discuss today. It's regarding gaming events. Think gaming events is, it's very hard to make, very interesting, but of course, very satisfying for gamers, game developers, and a lot of people that love video games in general. Yeah.
That's correct. So today we already have our special guest from Germany. We have Christian Bauer. Hi, Chris.
Hello. Hi. Thank you for having me. I'm very good. Thanks.
Thank you for coming in and share your experience to all of our audience in Indonesia. Thank you so much. Before we start, Chris, maybe you can start with introducing yourself, your position, and what your role in Gamescom.
Yes. So, hi, my name is Christian Bauer. I'm the director of Gamescom and events here at GAME, the German Video Games Industry Association. We represent 450 industry participants, mostly publishers and developers, but also other companies working in the field here in Germany. And we own Gamescom and organize it together with Köln Messe, who are the fair exhibitor organizers in Cologne, where the event takes place every year.
400 members?
450 members we have at the moment.
Wow, that's huge. In Indonesia right now, the member of AGI, I think just around 30 studios and publishers. Oh. Yeah, still a lot of to catch up. All right, we're going to talk about the association on mainly about the Gamescom and the event. But before we started, I think all of the guests that coming into the press start, this is the question that we asked to everyone, because most of our audience, the listener who watch or listen this podcast, is mostly students, new developers, aspiring developers, or maybe some of them also professionals who like to know what are the options to jump into the game industry, and maybe they can learn from your journey. So Chris, maybe for to start the discussion, can you tell us your journey? What's the trigger, and when was it for you when you decided that you want to jump into the game industry?
Yes. So in all fairness, the journey kind of started in 1985 when I was 6 years old and my father brought back a first home computer. It was a Commodore back then. And that was also when I was getting in touch with video games for the first time. And I was definitely fascinated by video games, fascinated by programming. And video games were always part of my life throughout childhood and later when I was a teenager. I played video games and I loved video games. And I must admit that the knowledge and experience of video games that I gathered through playing the video games laid the foundation to have a successful career in gaming. I later went on to study, and then I started working. After studying, I started working in the foods and beverage industry, but I was still a passionate gamer and I was playing a video game by a small German publisher. And I thought, oh, guys, you could really do with some help in your marketing. So I decided that I apply there. And then I started my first job as a junior brand manager for Frogstar Online Gaming in 2010. And then from there on, I went through the ranks, becoming a senior marketing manager, becoming a head of marketing, a director of marketing. Then I went into producing and product management, became a product director. Later, then I went back into marketing because that's a little less work than being responsible for a whole product. So I became a marketing director again. And eventually I ended up here at the association in charge of Gamescom because the challenge at hand and the task at hand was very tempting. I was tasked with making Gamescom more international and more digital than it was in the past. And that's also kind of what the role Defiance, which is a very strategic role, where we are trying to outline a strategy. We are trying to make sure that we have everything in place so that we can see the strategy through, which means that there's coherent plans in place, that we have the right partners in place. So in my tenure as a director of Gamescom, we launched my Gamescom Opening Night Live together with Geoff Keighley, which is one of the largest gaming showcases in the world now. We then were hit, like every other large event, by the global pandemic. However, I believe that we made it quite well through the pandemic with the two digital editions of Gamescom coming back last year with 265,000 visitors and well over 1,000 exhibitors on site again. And this year we are actually looking at breaking some records from the past. So this is, it's in a nutshell.
Exciting.
Thank you. It's also a lot of work, but it's working together on something that is one's passion, video games, and working together with people who, and I think this is something which is very special in the gaming industry. The gaming industry still consists of a lot of idealists. So people do not join gaming because they want to get rich or have a great career. They join gaming because they love games.
True.
And that, and working with these people is just, it's a blessing.
Yeah, I actually have a question, because I'm from the Lazy Monday, which is a media, and personally, I joined the game industry as a media, as a marketer, like you, and jumping from being a marketer to someone that handling an event as big as internationally known, maybe we can call it one of currently the biggest gaming events in like globally right now. Like, what is your biggest challenge, like, jumping from, like, being a marketer to managing event?
In the end, there is not that much of a difference. I mean, I was a marketing manager, and before that, I was a brand manager. I'm still managing a brand, and I'm still managing marketing, but I'm managing much, much more than that. I was always relying on other resources, agencies, other team members, people from online marketing, paid media, public relations, and everything else. So I always had to work with other marketing departments, and now I'm working with other departments as well. And it's all about, it's about managing things, you know, having a great strategy, getting the right stakeholders on board, making sure that the right plans are in place, following up on those plans, and just being a good manager is all it takes, from my experience. And to be a good manager, I think there's one virtue that is more important than anything else, and that is to be reliable. People need to be able to rely on what you say 100% and not 100% sometimes, or 90% sometimes, always 100%. And that's what I would say is the main challenge, to always be reliable and make sure that you as close to the key stakeholders as you can.
I see. Handling the event like this huge, how big is the team managing the event? Oof. I mean, like, this is a collaboration, right, within the association and the Colin Messe. Like, how you split the job desk?
Yeah, so basically we at the association, we are in charge of the brand. We are also in charge of the strategy. We are also responsible for the two. We have two boards at Gamescom. One is a more advisory board, and the other one is more of a strategic board. We are also responsible for that. And then when it comes to the operational tasks of actually organizing an event, that's mostly done by Köln Messe. Everything that's on site. There's a lot of mixed responsibilities when it comes to the digital stuff. Like, we have a Gamescom studio, which is organized, or which is run by IGN. This is something that we do together. We do Opening Night Live together with Geoff Keighley and his team. This is something where it's a little bit more on our side, but we're still doing it very closely together with Köln Messe. And then, of course, all the political work is something that all the other departments in the association do at Gamescom. We are also organizing a congress at Gamescom, which is looking into what games, gaming, and the gaming industry mean for the wider society. There's also a developer conference, which is called DevCom, which is organized by our subsidiary, which is DevCom GmbH. So they're also part of the association. So there's no clear line in the end. In the end, Gamescom is not one project, and you cannot look at it as one project. It consists of about 32 individual projects that need to be followed
32
up.
32 individual projects?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And one of the things, since I did marketing my whole life, but a couple of years into my career, I actually went into uni again in the evenings. To university, I had an evening course, and I studied project management. And I believe that knowing project management really well helped me a lot to try and keep track of everything. And that's also how I do it with Gamescom. It's project portfolio management.
I see. One follow-up question before we move to UK. How it started? I mean, between the game association sitting together with Colin Messe and discuss, hey, we need to make an event, or like. You started earlier than that, and how's that happened?
It started way earlier. There was it was the predecessor to the current association, whom I was a member actually of when I was still in the industry. And in 2001, the German video games industry, they sat together and they said, okay, we are struggling to convince the buyers at certain wholesalers to buy our games and put them onto their shelves at Christmas because they do not understand what gaming and games are. And I'm talking about those large department stores, large electronic stores, and you know, all those places where people used to buy video games. And those guys, they had no idea about video games and what the video games industry is and how big the video games industry is. So the German video games industry said, we need somewhere. We need a place where we can show to those people what gaming actually is and how many people gaming attracts. And that's how Gamescom actually started. It started as a small event in Leipzig, not in Cologne, where a bunch of video games companies simply showed, you know, what games they have in store for the next holiday season, where the community came to experience those games, and where the buyers of the large wholesalers came in to experience what the gaming industry actually is and why they should care for it and why they should really buy lots of video games to put on their shelves in their shops to sell them to those people who are attending the show. That's how Gamescom started. And then eventually it outgrew Leipzig and it moved to Cologne. And in Cologne, it just became the biggest community event in gaming in the world. We have about 25,000 trade visitors from all over the place. It's one of the largest B2B events, as well as one of the largest B2C events, because we have in total in 2019, we had 374,000 people attending the show. Last year, it was 265,000 people attending the show. This year is going to be somewhere in between those two numbers. And so there's not the one kind of interest that we can cater to if we're talking about that amount of people. On the business side, we are talking about what are the interests of big publishers, small publishers, indie developers, major developers. What about localization studios, engine developers, and so on and so forth. So we kind of have to find a purpose for all of those industry participants. And on the community side, you know, there's people who are into esports, there's people who are into cosplay, there are people who are into retro gaming, there are people who are into AAA games. There are people that are into brand A, B, C, and we have to find ways to give their attendance at Gamescom a good purpose. And in the end, everybody is happy. Everybody feels blessed to be among each other in a safe place where gamers can just be gamers and can show how big and important they actually are.
Wow.
Yeah. I want to follow up on that question, especially in the beginning, because like we actually made an event as well in Indonesia before. It's called Gamers to Gamers. I think it's kind of similar. We take inspiration from like big gaming events and Gamescom. And I think one of the biggest challenge that we face is like convincing people that, like what you say, that didn't know video games. Because in here, the case is they mostly only know esports, like mobile gaming esports. And most of those games are like international games, so it's very hard to kind of promote Indonesian game for people to you know, kind of interested and like pay attention to a lot of studios that make great games. So like in your like experience, like how do you convince you know, those like non-believers, maybe we can say, like in the beginning, to make it like this big?
Oh, that's a different challenge at all. I mean, overall, I believe that one of the big games are probably like PUBG and Garena Free Fire, right? In Indonesia.
Yes, yes, Mobile Legends, PUBG. Yeah.
Okay. And they are mostly played by a younger target audience, probably
yes.
between 13 mm-hmm. to 15, maybe 16 years old. Yeah, find ways to dip into a little bit of an older target audience who are not as competitive and where the peer pressure is not quite as strong as it is among the competitive esports players, because competitive esports players, a lot of it is about peer pressure. And they're competing against each other. There's like rivalries, people know each other personally or think they know each other personally, and so on and so forth. And it's a bit of a close shop, but the only way you can move forward is if you convince people who are interested in general, in media, who are interested in film, who are fans of other brands, such as like the Marvel franchises or the DC franchises. If you show them, look, if you are a fan of Spider-Man's, this is a Spider-Man game, which is better than the film, because you can actually play Spider-Man, and instead of lasting 2 hours, it lasts you 40 hours to play it through. I think this could help your market in that situation in which it is in, to try and convince more people to be open to the topic. And in the end, there's always the question of who are the early adopters, who can we convince, who are going to be the people who are going to multiply the message. And I guess the question really is, what kind of games are on the table and who is the best target audience for them, and which of those people can actually generate the most momentum for those games.
That is interesting. Kiki mentioned about her event, Gamers to Gamers, because it started last year, right, Kiki? The first event you make, and it yep. managed to gather around how many people to come?
1,000.
1,000.
That's that's from zero. And like, I agree. Like what you said, we literally cater to more older people. I think there's not much like teenagers. Like it's like 20 years old above. And like we also like I think what Gamescom do as well, like we try to invite cosplay, also like comics, like just general entertainment, because I think gaming specific it's still very far right now.
I mean, gaming transcends a lot of media. A lot of medias now, people who are into gaming, they are into movies, they are into TV series or Netflix series, they are into music, and usually there is a common denominator that combines all those interests, and it's important to find out what they are. So you've got X-Men's glove there, and I believe there's a couple of, I can't make out the figurines, but I'm not sure. We at Gamescom, for example, we have a huge merchandise area where people are just, you know, selling and buying games merchandise and fandom franchise merchandise, and it's just giving people a place where their universe comes together, basically. But again, Gamescom is this is difficult for me from far away to judge what you guys are doing or what you need to be doing. It's I would be ill-advised to give you any advice, because I've not been there and I don't know your market very well. I have a rough idea about the market, but in the end, I think when it comes to Southeast Asia, it's not unlike Europe. You cannot look at Europe as like one market. There's a German market, there's an Italian market, there's a French market, there's a Polish market. There's a lot of very different specifications to each market. Each market has their own kind of rituals, their own traditions and whatnot. And the same is true for Indonesia. And without knowing the market very well, it's hard for me to give you any advice on that. I think from what I hear, what you just told me, you did a good start. Obviously, I hope you have a Discord on which your community comes together, or any other means to gather your community, and then just continually work on optimizing the event together with the community as much as you can. Listen to what they have to say, what they are missing, what they are looking for, and look for those people that are actually willing to help.
When Chris, when Gamescom first started, when you mentioned it was small, do you remember, like, when was it become like, hey, it's now not a small event anymore, it's become huge, and how has that happened before?
2007 and 2008, that was really the time. But that was also a time when gaming really took off. There was a new console generation. The big online games were predominant in the Western market. I mean, World of Warcraft and some of the other big online games. So overall, just the gaming market sort of exploded. And there was a lot of money in the gaming industry worldwide. And, you know, people were looking at how can we get market shares in certain markets. And Germany, being the biggest market in Europe for video games, was always of very particular interest for many international companies. And that's where they started to pour money in. So, yeah.
And that's when you worked together with Colin Messe?
In Leipzig. We worked together with Messe Leipzig, it's called. It's just a different exhibition organizer in a different city. But Köln Messe is a lot bigger, and a lot of the German video games industry is actually located very near to Cologne. That's why we made the move to Cologne.
Okay. I want to talk more about the community, because I'm quite interested when you mentioned a lot about communities and catering to a lot of different people, not only in gaming. Maybe for you, I don't know, personally, or based on your years in making GameScop, like, do you feel like there's a certain impact that you feel or you see? Just like, don't have to be the gaming industry, but just like in Germany, maybe, like, is there an impact that you see that, oh yeah, this, we need to make this bigger, invite more people, and make this global?
I'm afraid I'm not quite sure I understood your question. Gamescom itself has a huge impact in Germany and in Europe. I mean, this Gamescom is the time of year when basically my parents get in touch with gaming, who are 70 and 76 years old, because Gamescom makes the news. I'm not sure what kind of impact you mean to invite us.
That can be the example. Maybe you know, a certain government, a certain communities start like creating their own studios or like building their own community because they meet in Gamescom. Or like, you know, or like a company started because they meet in Gamescom, they share their ideas. Something like that.
I don't know about any companies that, you know, where the people met at Gamescom and decided, let's go and found a company. Most of the younger startups, they basically meet at university and decide that they want to become a games company, or they meet at a games company and decide, hey, we want to do our own thing. But I know that Gamescom is also one of the largest licensing platforms in the world, where the licensing business takes place. So I'm developer A and I have a game, and you are publisher B, and I'm selling you the license to publish my game in certain markets. And that's where Gamescom comes in as one of the most important business platforms, because in the end, people have to work together for a long period of time, and no digital event can do what a physical event can do when people just meet, shake hands, and look each other deep into their eyes, and get a better sense of who the person opposite the table is. So this is where Gamescom has a huge impact. There's licensing deals and other deals that are being, and other contracts that are being created and signed at Gamescom worth billions of dollars a year.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris, because Indonesia since 2019, if I'm not mistaken, we always send delegation, the government, at Gamescom, because the number of deals happens in Gamescom is one of the biggest comparing to any other events in US, in Europe, in Asia. That's why they are very serious about it. And I even heard that there's a discussion to become one of the country partner of Gamescom because of the result of the licensing and outsourcing, not only licensing, but also outsourcing deals happens at Gamescom. Do you see, like, Gamescom is more, I don't know, more the strategic place for the B2B and the B2C is additional, or both of them for you is have the same impact?
It really depends. There's a scenario in which you're running a business and it's really important for you to get in touch with as many B2B people as possible. Then you can go to Gamescom and you will meet everybody who is somewhat interesting to you at Gamescom in a very, very small space. There's a scenario in which your company is interested into, you know, getting a little more attention because there's a new game announcement and you want to be part of a big showcase, and you want to exhibit to like people on the ground, and then you go and visit the B2C thing. So the idea is really that Gamescom is a platform, and we are trying to provide purpose to every business needs that are being addressed to us. And if you know, so we're trying to create a solution. We are creating solutions for indie developers, for major developers, for small publishers, for big publishers, for outsourcing companies, for localization studios and whatnot. And it really depends on their own strategy and on their own situation in which they're in. What of that, you know, from the catalog of things that I can do at Gamescom, I pick this, and this. It's like a menu in a restaurant. You go to a restaurant and you say, okay, I'm going to have a start, I'm going to have a main course, I'm going to have a drink, and I'm going to have a dessert. And it's kind of similar at Gamescom. People go there and they know what their business goals are and what their business needs are, and then they just choose from what's on offer and make sure that they get everything in one place in one time. It's just super efficient.
That is totally true, because like some publishers, they're only attending on the business day and then they're not coming to the B2C day. Some of them have a booth from the business day until the public day. And one of the most memorable, and I think it's quite surprising for me, is like when I see people queuing in the line to try new games, they even brought a chair to sit and wait for 2 hours and 3 hours just to play like maybe 5 minutes, 10 minutes of a play time for a game. Is that the culture that already happened long ago, or that's something that happened because Gamescom show that games can be like entertaining and valuable for them?
Well, I think it's something that's happened before. There were similar situations at other conventions that have lasted longer than Gamescom, like a Comic-Con in San Diego, for example. If there was a certain panel discussion, or if there was a certain person giving an autograph, people would start queuing the night before. So it's nothing that I think Gamescom has created or invented. But I can assure you that the guys making games who for the first time in their lives saw people queuing for 5-6 hours to play their
crazy
video game.
Yeah.
It's just such a strong emotion. And here's something that is making Gamescom special, because the video games are a digital industry and a digital media. So there is no direct contact among people. So yeah, even if we play together, usually there's a screen in front of me and my hands are on my keyboard. And then not very often people actually get to meet the people who are making the games. And the people who are making the games don't often get to really meet the people who are playing their games. And at Gamescom, we are overcoming this. This is really where games become haptic, something you can touch, something you can feel on your skin, something you can breathe in. And this is where gamers become humans and interact like humans interact with each other, because it is. I remember I was in charge of a video game and I was very nervous because I had no idea how people would actually react to playing the video game. And then when I went to Gamescom, we had a booth there, and then people started playing the game and people started loving the game. And I was like, this is, you know, you've worked super hard in your office or in a studio on a game for a very, very long time, and then for the first time you actually experience people playing your video game outside of a focus group or something. This is just, it's just the magic. It's just magical, really. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's true. And I think one more thing that I think is very, very beautiful at Gamescom is like the audience who come to the B2C day, the public day, they're not only come to play the AAA games. I know the AAA game have a long queue, but at the Hall 10, where indies over there,
and two, yeah,
that's packed like hell, crazy, very, very full.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
We have a hall. We have a hall. This year is going to be even bigger than it was in the past. We have a hall that is dedicated to indie games, and there is the place where indie developers actually show their games to the audience, and people love it. People love to go in the indie area. They love to actually talk to the actual guy who's developed that game over a period of 5 years on his own, and they play those video games there. And the indies are super creative, and they're really, you know, many people in the indie area, they are developing games not because they want to have a business run off of it, that also, yes, but many of them develop a game because they have an idea. And it's much more like a person who is creating a piece of art. They have a certain idea, they have a certain effect that they want to cause in somebody who is playing their video game. And that's why there's some of the craziest and most creative ideas that are visible in the industry can be seen at Gamescom, and people can engage with the developer and talk about what, you know, they had in mind when they were thinking of that game loop or of that map or of that art design at first hand. But there's also another thing, that the retro area. We have a huge
retro area
at Gamescom where people can play consoles from like the 80s and 90s and old games. And this is also one of the core aspects of Gamescom that is always highest rated when we ask visitors what they like best about Gamescom. It's the retro games are super, super, super highly rated, and people love it. I remember in 2019 it was exceptionally good because they would actually have little replicas of like children's rooms in the 80s and 90s. So you would So you'd actually go into a little area that looked and felt and in part smelled like a children's room in the 80s looked like, and you would sit on a children's bed from the 80s, and you would have this crappy telly in front of you, and then you would play on an Atari console or on another, you know, on one of the old consoles that were available back then, and you were playing those video games that you haven't played in 20, 30 years. And then we have a really cool effect there, because many people don't consider themselves gamers. Like, oh no, I'm not a gamer. I'm only here because of my son or my daughter or my children, because they wanted to come to Gamescom. And then we take them and then they go to the retro area and they sit down, and then they realize, oh crap, I loved that game when I was a child. And it just gives them the goosebumps, and they come out totally thrilled and happy and full of emotions. It's a very,
but I'm curious, Chris.
Sorry? Yeah.
Who's the company providing the retro game? They're not.
It's a club.
It's a
club. We're working with a community. This is a community area. We are not renting that out. We're giving that for free to a club that is dedicated to the maintenance of retro consoles.
I see. They're like preservation, right? I mean,
yeah,
like,
exactly. They preserve old technology. That's what their club purpose is. And they have a network of people who are into retro gaming. I mean, retro gaming has grown a lot over here in the West. It's become quite a big market. But yeah, we are working with a non-charity organization who exhibit there for free, and they it's volunteers who are working there who are into retro consoles and know every technological detail inside out. Yeah, and it's the same with the cosplay area. Actually, the cosplay area is also we just give that to the cosplay community. They don't have to. There's no exhibitor there. They don't have to pay us. We just give them the space. We're trying to find sponsorships so that we can build a cool stage there. And then they can have that space and can do whatever they fancy, and it's their space. And then they do have like events there, and they have presentations there, and then they show you know their work. But also there's like a repair cafe where they can repair each other's cosplays and just network, hang out, and they love it.
I see. I mean, yeah, that's correct. I mean, like the retro is very, very nice. The indie area is very, very nice. Hall 5, it's my favorite, where we buy all merchandise and everything. But I'm quite curious regarding the position of Gamescom with esports, because I don't see a lot of activities around esports. What happened?
It's quite easy. Look at the esports calendar. In the end of August, there's not a lot of international esports competitions going on. That's all it is. It's a summer break for the big esports companies. And that's where Gamescom still has esports. There's still invitational tournaments. There is still local or regional tournaments taking place. Now we're going to have another mobile game competition at Gamescom. But yeah, Gamescom is in a time frame, and there is no big international competition that we could have there.
I see.
It's as simple
as
that.
What I've heard. Isn't the international started from Gamescom, if I'm not mistaken?
Yes, the international one.
Yeah.
The first one was at Gamescom.
It is started from Gamescom. It's legendary. It's the first Dota.
The international one that started at Gamescom. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure if the people at Valve, whom we work very closely with, who I admire a lot, I'm not sure if they knew what was going to happen to the international when they started it at Gamescom. Mm-hmm. But yes, it's nice that you know that it's a something that should make everybody working on Gamescom proud that the international took off there.
Yeah, it's legendary, and I think even though it's not a Gamescom thing, I think kind of impact the esports industry as well. Maybe creating an entity. The international right now is one of the biggest esports events and the highest quality events with the very big prize pool.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's also one of the biggest games, isn't it? Dota 2. I played it myself a little bit, but I prefer watching it than playing it. I'm better at commenting what the others are doing than doing it myself. There is the Intel Extreme Masters in Cologne, one of the biggest Counter-Strike tournaments that is taking place just like 4 weeks before Gamescom in Cologne in the same place. But yeah, it's a matter of the esports calendar. That is the main thing. And it's okay. I mean, esports is esports, and I love esports. I go to esports events myself. Actually, funny story, I'm age 45. I'm still a member of an esports clan, and we meet every Tuesday evening together on our server, and we play. And on Fridays, we play competitive. Because it's great with this group, because everybody is over 40 years old. And you know, if I say, oh, I can't, wait a second, I need to go AFK because my child's woken up, and everybody says, oh, yeah, of course, I know. But it's quite cool. That was ahead of, yeah. So esports in itself has become such a big event asset that it doesn't really make sense to try and weave in a major esports event into Gamescom, because that would just be two very, very competing major event assets trying to fit together where they won't. So I think what we do, where we provide like esports stages for regional tournaments, for smaller games, for invitational tournaments, for platform events like mobile, which is not very big in Germany or in Europe overall. Mm. I think this is where Gamescom comes in, and where Gamescom has a very good purpose. The international does need to take place at Gamescom, and Gamescom doesn't need the international to take place at Gamescom, because it's pointless.
Yeah. I see. Yeah, that's nice. Chris, Gamescom in the future. Now, you have, I don't know, is it under your management too, or supervision too, that Gamescom has a chapter in Asia, in Singapore, since 2020, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah. Yeah, that's something that is also managed by us, but with a very, very long leash. Basically, the original plan was to work together with another event that was already established in Singapore, and to brand that Gamescom and to start growing it to the scale of a Gamescom. But then the pandemic started, and that made everything a lot more difficult. However, the biggest advantage we had there was that we had a very, very passionate and very, very, very professional team on site in Singapore So we decided, okay, let's just listen to what they are saying. And they were telling us, okay, look, guys, let's start the first Gamescom Asia, very small scale, B2B focused, because this is really the way to go. And they did, and they repeated it last year, and they grew it. And this year is the first time where it's going to also be B2C on a day or two. And we just decided that we want to start from a smaller scale, that we want to build something in the long term, and that we want to do that together with the people on site who have the insights on what's best.
Yes, I'm very excited that the fact that I visited Gamescom Asia last year, Kiki also last year, and only B2B. It is also fun to meet with a lot of people looking for publishers, making deals. That happens also. But this year's the B2C, it's going to be exciting because we want to know, like, how big is the scale? Who's going to come to the event? Is it going to be like for us in Indonesia to fly to Germany is very costly, right?
Yeah.
If that we can have like miniature of that in Singapore, in Southeast Asia, that will be very, very helpful for most of developers on the region.
Well, one of the great things that we do together with Gamescom Asia is that we actually created a global business community. So we launched Gamescom Biz, which is an online Gamescom, an online industry community where people from or attendees from Gamescom Asia, and from DevComs, they can actually network with each other. They can exchange information with each other. They can start the conversation and start the business relationships together. Everybody, either from Indonesia or from Singapore, from Europe, from the US, from all over the place. So this is something that we did with that in mind, because we wanted to try and make sure that, you know, the new normal, which is that people do not travel as much for business, but they do a lot of online events. We accepted that, and we created again a platform where all the people from Gamescom, Gamescom Asia, DevCom, they can come together and they can network with each other. They can create meetings with each other. They can exchange information. They can pitch to each other. We created a platform in which we are trying to make use of the fact that we have those major events everywhere, and we enable people who are going to event A but cannot go to event B to also engage and interact with the people who are going to event B but cannot be at event A.
I see. So the apps, the Biz, Gamescom Biz, is it gonna be like online for a full year or only
always
online?
On.
Always on.
It's always on. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. So it will make easier for like developers to find publishers or like outsourcing company to find client on that one digital hub.
So there is that. So the platform, it's available as an app, as a native app, but also on the web. It's basically it's a community. It's a business community, big business community with networking features and matchmaking features and so on and so forth. And then within that business community, there's always different events. So now there's obviously Gamescom happening. So that event is live, and then there's companies that are exhibiting online in this event. DevCom is live. Same thing here. In a couple of weeks, Gamescom Asia is going to go live, and then, you know, people can present their products on that events page. But the overall community is always online, and everybody that is part of Gamescom or Gamescom Asia is part of the online community as well.
Is it possible for like other event that is not Gamescom to use that app?
No. No, this is something that we created, and eventually we're gonna have more events, and then more events will find their way into that app. But at the moment, it's just Gamescom, DevCom, and Gamescom Asia.
So in the future, you imagine you're planning to have like another Gamescom in another region?
No, we're not planning, but it's always something that's on the table, isn't it? Gamescom Asia is doing well enough. I mean, in Singapore. And Gamescom is doing really well as well, and there's lots of people who are asking us if we weren't interested in having another event in this place or that place. But so at the moment, there's no concrete plans, but we're always talking about it. Yeah. The only plan for now is Gamescom next week, and this is something that's keeping me busy enough.
Yes, next week I already pack and cannot wait to.
I haven't packed, but yeah, this is my first Gamescom, so very excited to see.
Okay, bring comfortable shoes because you're gonna be walking a lot.
Yep, I heard a lot about that. It's a huge. I heard yeah. it's a very huge area, so.
Yeah. And bring a bottle of water with you. You can always have a bottle of water with you when you go in, because then you don't need to buy water. It's very costly to buy food and drinks on an exhibition. It's always better to bring your own bottle of water.
Is okay. it true Good that tips. From the south entrance to the north entrance, if you walk, you're gonna need it around like 30 minutes? From
yeah, it could be more than that if it's full on a Friday, Saturday. It's going to be much more than a half an hour. I mean, it's 230,000 square meters. It's big. Gamescom is very, very big. So if you walk from entrance south, which is basically north. The entrance where the business area is, to the entrance north. I mean, in between there and there, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 halls that you have to go past.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's gonna take a while, and it's gonna distract you as well because you're gonna see something and then you want to go in there and yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, but like a lot of people say that like. For medias, we're gonna run a lot, especially if the schedule is very tight from the B2C to B2B. Like I already told my partner, like we're gonna be running a lot, like on Wednesday.
Yeah, you will be. That's bring comfortable shoes. I can only recommend that. And have a look at the hall plans. In the beginning, sometimes it's quicker to go through a hall out one of the side doors and enter the next hall on one of the side doors than to try and walk through the middle hallway, which is called the boulevard.
Okay.
Yeah. Last year I saw that compared to 2019 and 2022, in 2022 I think there's the crowd hasn't get back to normal, like still like company who didn't create booth compared to 2019. For this year, can we expect it's gonna be full pack?
Yeah, definitely. It's gonna be. Was it yesterday or today? We had a press conference where we gave out new numbers. Sorry, every the days before Gamescom, it's like all mingling together into one day. Yesterday we did a press conference where we announced that actually we're going to have more exhibitors than ever before at Gamescom. It's going to be 1,150 or 1,200 exhibitors on site. We announced last week already that the Saturday is sold out when it comes
sold
to tickets.
Out.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Man.
So it's going to be big and it's going to be full and it's going to be, I mean, we do not necessarily want to be back where we were before the pandemic with 374,000 people. It's really too much, and it's not necessarily very enjoyable for the individuals there on site. But I believe that we are on track to have the right amount of people who are still going to have the right amount of good time at Gamescom.
If the demand for Gamescom becoming bigger and bigger, more and more people want to come to Gamescom, and the space is not feasible to accommodate that, are there any bigger space in Germany to hold Gamescom or not?
The answer is yes, there is. There is a bigger space, or there's bigger spaces in Germany where the Gamescom could theoretically be held, but no way. Gamescom is in Cologne, and Gamescom has grown into Cologne, and there is no way that we're going to leave Cologne anytime soon, regardless of the size. Because what is special about Cologne is that during Gamescom, wherever you go, it's Gamescom. The whole city is Gamescom. We have a Gamescom festival, and so we are closing down two major roads in Cologne. We're going to put up two stages, and we're going to have 2 days of concerts in the city, Gamescom Festival, music festival, with really big German electronic music bands and some regional bands there. HoYoWares is going to do a big orchestra with the new game there, and it's going to be absolutely amazing. So the special thing about Gamescom is that it's all over the city. Wherever you go in Cologne, there's Gamescom.
And
I cannot wait. Yeah,
that's cool. It's go on Friday. If you're there on Friday evening, then Friday evening is an amazing program on those stages in the festival.
And that also make the local government support the event, right? Because in terms of like the tourism and everything, like it bring the city alive, right?
Absolutely. I mean, everybody envies. I mean, many cities in Germany and Europe actually they envy Cologne for having Gamescom.
Yes, knowing that on my first time at Gamescom last year on 2022, after we come back to Indonesia, the first thing that I did is looking for the announcement when is the next Gamescom and book the hotel right away.
Yeah,
because that sold out very, very fast.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I already booked the ticket for the hotel and the flight from a year before Gamescom this year.
Yeah. There's another time window, I'd say in late December, early January, where prices are also still okay. But then after February, the prices go up a lot. I wouldn't recommend booking. I mean, what you do is just right. Usually what they do is if you book a hotel room, they try and give you similar rates to the recent, to the current booking if you go back next year and if you commit to it. I mean, overall, there's about 500,000 people coming to Cologne for Gamescom and the City Festival and everything else. This is a lot.
Even the government give us a free like ticket for public transport, like so you can.
Yeah, that's part of the Gamescom ticket as well. Yeah, so you can go on the public
ride
transport.
It's called the U-Bahn and S-Bahn and the bus and everything free if you have the Gamescom exhibitor pass.
Yeah, that's also this part of our Green Gamescom initiative, where we are trying to make the event more sustainable, where we already achieved carbon neutrality for the core event. So everybody that is, you know, working on Gamescom 365 days a year and everything, so they need to do their job, that's already carbon neutral. And then we are also compensating the usage of carbon. We are growing a Gamescom forest in Germany where the community can donate money or buy a green ticket to grow a tree in the Gamescom forest, which is actually next to the Doom forest, which is also cool because they did it before us. So there's a Doom, you know, the video game Doom?
Yes, there's a Doom forest?
There's a Doom forest in Germany and there's a Gamescom forest right next to it.
Is it in Poland?
No, it's in the south. It's in the southeast of Germany, not in Bavaria. So what they are doing is they're replanting trees. They're replanting a forest in a sustainable way, so that you know wildlife has a habitat where you know carbon is being collected preserved by having trees grow because they use up carbon. And it's just overall a really cool thing. And what they're doing is they're specifically looking to fill in gaps in between individual forests to build one big forest because that's better for the wildlife and for the bees and for the birds and whatnot. Gamescom Forest is also something that exists where people can contribute to growing a forest, the Gamescom Forest, which is next to the Doom Forest, which is really cool. And together with Playing for the Planet, which is an initiative by the United Nations, we are giving out the Gamescom Goes Green Award at Opening Night Live. The Gamescom Green Studio of the Year Award, sorry. We are highlighting particularly good efforts of certain game companies when it comes to sustainability and saving the planet.
Oh, really? It's already happening? The game company in Germany, they do that? What kind of initiative usually they do?
Sorry?
What kind of initiative? I mean, like, what are they doing to...
want to spoil that. This is going to be revealed at Opening Night Live when we announce the winner and the nominees.
this video probably up at, long after Gamescom, right? So it's not a surprise already. But it's fine if you don't want to tell. I want to know on there. So I don't want the spoilers.
Okay, then if the video comes on, so basically it's not always the one thing, the one initiative, but it's actually to have a coherent plan that is encompassing as many aspects of your business as possible, from your like the employers, from the people where you source your resources from how you brand your products, how you package your products, how you looking at the entire value chain of your products and trying to optimize that to become more climate friendly. This is basically what the winner this year is going to be all about.
I see. All right, Chris. It's very nice talking with you. I mean, like, we learn a lot, and there's a lot of insight that we get from you. But unfortunately, we almost run out of time. So yes. One last question, Chris, for you, if you still have time. So quick advice from you to someone who looking to start their own gaming convention or festival in their home country. What are your advices?
Find people who are like-minded, who wants to do that together with you. The more the merrier. It's not the same with Gamescom. It's not a one-man show. Gamescom has many fathers and many mothers. And the same is true for any convention. Find people who have the who are willing to to work passionately on the same crazy idea and have their own crazy ideas and do it together. And always it's a team effort. It needs a lot of people who have different skills and different qualifications and different talents.
All right. That is really, really amazing. Thank you so much for your time, Chris. I know this is the most hectic time for you because next week is Gamescom, and thank you for giving your time to speak with us here.
Well, thank you very, very much for having me and for listening to this boring old guy from Europe for an hour. I want to say thank you to the listeners as well. Hello to Indonesia. And thank you very much.
Thank you, Chris. I hope we can bump up with you at Gamescom and say hi and give you a huge high five. And maybe we can also see you again on Gamescom Asia too. Thank you for your time. Thank you to Kiki for being here and accompanying me. I think that's it for today's episode. Maybe this episode can help everyone here who are listening get inspired and start doing their event, gathering the community, and giving impact to the Indonesia game industry. That's it for today. Thank you very much. See you on the next episode. Bye-bye. Thank you, Chris. Bye-bye.
Bye.